Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, we're going to continue right on with where we left off yesterday. We were talking about ministry, body ministry, and the work of a minister. And by that, I'm referring not just to the fivefold ministry, but for every single believer. We are all able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. And so the work of the minister is simply to take immature Christians and reproduce his mature life in them. Every single believer, as we grow and as we are changed from glory to glory, as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, we are to share those spiritual truths, the lessons we've learned with others. Jesus said to make disciples. That's what it means, not just to get people saved and share the good news of the gospel, but after that occurs, to help them grow in the things of God. Remember in Mark, the first chapter, verse 17, what did Jesus give as an invitation to the fishermen? He said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that desire of the Holy Spirit has not changed today. And then listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. This is verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And then in the 11th chapter, let me turn to that, verse 1, he exhorts the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even, this is the important thing, even as I also am of Christ. Praise God. And then in Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 17, he says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. He's saying we are an example, and that's what our, that as we become leaders, and each of you, beloved, you may not have a recognized public ministry, but you are a leader, you are a force for the gospel, you are a representative of Jesus Christ, you are his ambassadors, regardless of what your station or situation in life is, even if it may be limited by virtue of health or advanced age, you still can pray. You still can perhaps send cards. You can pick up the phone and call others to encourage. How priceless that ministry of encouragement is. And then in the fourth chapter, verse 9, Paul tells us those things, he's speaking to the Philippians, which ye have both learned and received. He's talking to the church now, the Philippian church. Those things which I've shown you, I've taught you, that which you've received from me and heard and seen, not just what he said, what he did, do. That's the command. Do it. Do it. Do what I, my lifestyle, what I've shown to you of what it means to follow Christ. You follow that. You imitate that. And the God of peace shall be with you. Praise God. And so we are to be examples, just as Jesus was our perfect example, we are to be examples for other believers, and especially for baby Christians. This is a whole new experience for them. They need the encouragement, the care, the nurturing, the attention, and the patience, perhaps, and long-suffering that we need to give just as we would to a natural child. Now, everyone who's born again, there's an ultimate goal for every believer, and that is as Ephesians talks about in the fourth chapter, a perfect man and the fullness in Christ. The climax of the work of the Holy Spirit is corporate maturity of the Church of Jesus Christ, a church that is without spot, stain, or wrinkle. And that includes and incorporates maturity in knowledge, in stature, in stability, and in service. So in summary, what can we say? Body ministry, well, into the body of Christ have been placed certain members who are responsible for developing maturity in other members of that body. Of course, the fivefold ministry, as I've shared, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers, they are equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And so when these, as individuals grow into maturity, then those who have developed, once, if you will, trainees are steadfastly developed into consistent fruit-bearing Christians, then they are to reproduce this life of which Christ is the conscious and visible head. Christ is the head of his body. And they're to do this work to produce in still other members of the body that same kind of maturity and completion and growth in Christ. This nurturing and reproducing process is what is called body ministry, the work of believers, that of discipling other believers. So, let's move on. So, what is the work of body ministry? Well, there are five important aspects I'd like to share with you. The first one is to bring the body of Christ into the unity of the faith. That means we speak the truth in love, we don't argue, we don't create strife, we allow God's gracious work to continue in the life of every believer. That does not mean that we let people run over us. That does not mean that we acquiesce to evil or sin. But we, by our prayers, by our example, are to exemplify the love, the long-sufferance, the patience, the gentleness, the goodness of Christ, and do all that we can in prayer and in literal help by words, by actions, to bring them into understanding and knowledge of what it means to be a real Christian. This comprises full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God and resemblance to his character in service and in stability and faithfulness. Foremostly, we are to be grounded in Scripture. In fact, that's the only way we know how to become mature and to care for one another enough to speak the truth to them in love. Praise God. And so that would be the first thing to help bring us all into the unity of the faith. You can't argue someone into your strongly held beliefs of Scripture. That's profitless, and the Word tells us not to argue. Let God deal. Share simply. Listen. And don't be moved from your position, that which you know to be true. And then secondly, we are to restore brothers, restore perhaps someone who has erred, who are in ignorance, or who are perhaps in willful rebellion. It says in Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual or mature, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We must never think we have arrived in a position of maturity and spirituality that we are just beyond such things and temptations, because he who thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Those who are assured of their own spirituality, just like Pharisees, well, they were greatly wanting. It was the publican who smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," that found grace and acceptance in the Lord's eye. "There but for the grace of God go I." Never think, beloved, that you are above any particular temptation, because God alone knows, and the devil also knows, our weak points. So it's only by God's grace that you stand firm in what you know to be the truth. And so we are called upon to bring restoration to those who are weak. And sometimes, beloved, you know what? They don't want to hear it. In which case, you leave them alone, but you pray. And God, He knows how to put a hook in a jaw and bring them back. He's married to the backslider, I heard long ago when I was a young Christian. And then, of course, in exhortation, Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13 declare, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. My goodness, how serious unbelief is. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. In other words, while we've got the time, none of us have an assurance of tomorrow, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Obviously, Paul is saying something very important here, because sin has a way of hardening our hearts, making us insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we are, with all humility, to exhort one another, because if you see someone going down a wrong path, with great love and gentleness, you try to bring them back only after prayer and whatever God speaks to your heart. Sometimes it might just be to pray. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. But we are to speak to a brother intimately and encouragingly about the future. We have to deal with unbelief, with hardness of heart, as well as steadfastness in our confidence in Christ's work. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work. It doesn't depend on you, thank God. And if the Holy Spirit can't convict someone, well, you're not going to be able to do it. He can use you, but it's primarily the work of the Spirit of God, and you need to be there to pray and to do whatever God would speak to your heart. Well, beloved, there are yet a couple of areas that God can use us in, but we must wait until tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to write, share your prayer requests as I bring this broadcast to a close. I am so grateful for the work of the Spirit of God, what He's doing in my life, what I know He's doing in the lives of UCM partners. Those who write and share, it's so wonderful to hear answers to prayers, testimonies that are coming in. If you've never written, should you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I do urgently and with great zeal encourage you to obey that prompting, because I may not know, but He's got, and you may not know, but He's got a reason for doing it. I love you. Thank God for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.